Quick one before the introduction to today's episode. So if you are outside of Ireland, and I know there's listeners all over the world on this podcast, so if you're in Canada, the UK, the US, Dubai, Australia, wherever you are, feel free to skip forward the next 90 seconds because I'm going to talk about a Rewire Your Mindset seminar in Cork. And today's guest is a Cork native. I've actually had like two Cork people on in the last 4 weeks, which is just the way it fell, in between Martin Nutrition and Rob Kearney. So getting some of the UK and the US vibe right in between the two Cork people. Alistair Hart was on several weeks ago, and today's guest is another Corkegian. We call ourselves Galwegians. I don't think it's Corkwegians. Rebels, whatever. I don't know what the fuck you call people from Cork. Anyways, Rewire Your Mindset Seminar in Cork. The Clayton Hotel on the 18th of April, 2020, so this year, Saturday the 18th of April, in Laps Quay Center in Cork. So you can get your tickets for that event now. It is on from 9:30 to 4:30, so a full day event. The doors will be open from 9 a.m. You can get your tickets. I will put the link in the description for today's episode. So if you're looking to rewire your mindset, if you've read my book, Rewire Your Mindset, if you're into any of the mindset podcasts that I've recorded, or you need help in any area of your life that is around the topics covered on the day, so confidence, goal setting, dealing with negative people, feeling the fear and doing it anyways, and everything in between, then be sure to check out the seminar, and I'll catch you all on the 18th. Now enjoy today's episode. Hello Podosphere, hello Pod World, Podcast World, Pod, hello listener. Thank you for listening. Quick introduction to today's episode. So taking a little bit of a switch of direction and a switch of pace this week. Last week we had Martin Nutrition talking all things nutrition, diet, calorie deficits, emotional behavior around food. The week before we had Rob Kearney talking about accepting yourself as the first openly gay professional strongman. And the week before that we had Alistair Hart coming on talking about weight loss and all the things you need to figure out around your nutrition, your calories, and your mindset and life in general in order to lose weight. Today, my guest is talking about her specific journey, which is an incredible story. Tess McGrath on Instagram. So Tess_McGrath is a Cork blogger, but is somebody that I came across pure by chance. Tess messaged me on Instagram DM after she signed up for my Rewire Your Mindset seminar in Cork, and just messaged to say, coming to the seminar in Cork, can't wait, been following your stuff for ages, etc. And I clicked into her profile. I'm like, fuck, I'm like, this one looks cool. I'm like, mum to eight? And I'm looking at her before and after photos. And just the way serendipity happened, I invited her to come on the podcast and talk about her story. So that's what we're doing in today's episode. So a very fortunate opportunity. I'm very grateful for that conversation, and I'm very grateful for Tess for coming up to come on the podcast and share her incredible story. Tess is a single mum. Mum to eight children. Yes, you heard that correctly. Eight children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. She was voted the best social media influencer in 2018 by the Beauty Blog Awards, and uses her social media platform to talk about her issues and past issues with mental health and her transformation. Over the last couple of years, after her seventh child, she was sitting at, I think it was 17 stone 10, if I'm not mistaken, and she had a very poor relationship with food. And as she says herself in the episode of the podcast, she was just eating all the time. And over the last couple of years, she has lost just over 100 pounds, so nearly 7 stone. And interestingly, the thing that got her off the ground first was Slimming World. And if you've been listening to this podcast in the past, I'm going to rephrase that. If you follow my Instagram, because sometimes my message gets lost on Instagram because of the short form nature of the platform. Slimming World is a company or a organization that help people lose weight by doing things like sins and treats, etc. And you may have heard me on my Instagram in the past, if you follow my Instagram, Brian_Keen_Fitness, kind of lambasting certain organizations that don't educate people on food. Now, just to play devil's advocate, I'm not anti or pro Slimming World. I'm not anti or pro Weight Watchers. I'm not anti or pro anything. I'm anti diet that doesn't work for people, and I'm pro finding what works for you. And in the case of today's episode, Tess actually used Slimming World to lose a lot of her weight initially. It was the thing that got her off the ground and got her from zero to one and was the catalyst for her to start looking at her nutrition and then getting a little bit of motivation to start working out. She just started with walking and then graduated into working with a personal trainer. And over the last year and year and a half or so, she has got into incredible shape. If you see her photo on my Instagram page, she's in incredible shape now. We did this podcast in person too, and if you look at her before pictures, it literally looks like two different people. It's unbelievable. So we use today's episode to talk all things mental health around food. So mindlessly eating, how to get your head right and get your mindset right so that you can actually lose the weight or get in shape, and some of the tips and techniques and strategies that Tess wish she had known when she started her journey first. One of the reasons I wanted to connect so much with her is because as of someone that's a single mom of eight, you literally need to be the best person in the world with time. And it made me think, Brian, you have no excuse. If you try and make an excuse, you have one child and she's as good as gold. Tess is eight. So there's just this massive wide-ranging gap between the youngest and the eldest, and there's just so many. So it has made me think I have no excuses. If I need to get a training session in or I need to get some work deadline done, I can do it. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to connect with Tess. But her story on losing nearly 100 pounds after baby number 7 is just an incredible one that I wanted to share on the podcast. So without further ado, here is today's podcast episode with my guest, Tess McGrath. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, sorry to pull a switcheroo on you like this. It's Tommy here, I edit Brian's podcast. There's a problem with Brian's audio for the first 5 minutes. He's in Vegas right now, so I just wanted to let you know about it. I messed up the day we were recording, but it only lasts about 5 minutes, and it's a great chat between Brian and Tess. Have a great Random Acts of Kindness day. Enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today by my guest, Tess McGrath. Tess, welcome to the podcast. I'm looking forward to talking about your weight loss journey, how you get anything done, being a mum of eight kids, and everything to do with health and fitness. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
Tell everybody listening a little bit about your backstory, where you're from, and just a little bit of a synopsis of kind of what got you to the point where you're at now, where people follow you online. You were voted social media influencer in 2018, voted social media influencer of the year by the beauty blogs. Talk us through a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I suppose I'm a single mom to eight kids. I was a Slimming World consultant. I suppose that's how it all started, from Snapchat, for almost 2 years. That's basically how it started, was the Snapchat days, doing my food.
Bring everybody a little bit of a story. I talked in the introduction about your kind of A to Z and where you're at now. Talk us through where you were a few years ago, because one of the things that attracted me most to your Instagram, and I think probably something that attracts so many people to your Instagram and social media in general, is your story and your journey from where you were to the life that you live now. Talk a little bit about where you were several years ago when you were overweight, and just kind of bring us to that point and we'll kind of take it from there.
I suppose I would have been, as you can imagine, overweight on and off, having a large family. There's not a big gap in between all the kids. So I never really got a chance to get my weight down before I had another one.
Were you always overweight, even as a kid, or was that something that came with when you...
No, I'd grown up, I would have been quite slim. And then I suppose teenage years happened, and I suppose heading into first year, I would have been a big girl. I would have been a size maybe 16 to an 18. And then my mam, I used to go walking with my mam an awful lot. I suppose she seen that maybe that I needed a kick up the arse. Yeah. So she used to bring me out the road walking with her, and that stood to me great. And I suppose the pounds started coming down, and then I got heavy again as I started to have children.
What age were you when you had your first child?
22 when I had my first.
22. And the weight climbed from that point?
Not so much with the first. I think I held it all well, and it was from the second on then that everything started to creep. It was just like any other man. There was no time to do anything. I felt I gave all the time to the kids, as in minding them, bringing them to school, bringing them, you know, they were looked after first before I looked after myself.
Yeah, something that happens with a lot of mums. Yeah. And then was it a gradual thing over the years as more kids came, the weight started to increase? And talk about what was the kind of top of the weight. What was your weight at its highest?
My weight at its highest was 18 stone, 10 and a half pounds.
Wow. And what is it now?
It is, I think, 63 kgs now.
Yes, that's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
And when did you make the decision? Because obviously having so many kids and time being an issue and trying to prioritize a fitness and health lifestyle, it can be tricky. It's not impossible, as you clearly show and live in this while of your Instagram, because it's showing how to do it.
Yeah.
But when did you make the decision that, right, I'm at 17, 18 stone, I need to make a change now? What was that kind of story like, or internal dialogue like? When did that happen and when did you start to make those changes?
It was after I had my seventh baby, Jenna. She's now, she'll be four in July. And I was heavy when I got pregnant with her. And I remember one of the midwives inside in the hospital had said, "You do know you're obese." And I was thinking, I'm going to pick up the scales and hit her over the head with it. That's what I thought. And then I said, no, I'll get arrested and I can't. And I could just blame my hormones. And I just looked at her and I goes, "I'm pregnant." And she said, "No excuse." And that always stuck in my head. She said, "Your labor will be way harder," and everything. And I was that stuck in my head. And I think I had about 9 or 10 weeks left to go to have her. And I was already planning in my head what I was going to do to lose the weight. I knew I was going to get heavier. Like, there was 8 or 9 weeks left in the pregnancy. And then I was thinking, okay, she's going to be the seventh. How am I actually going to do this? And I was embarrassed over my size as well. Like, she was born in July, and I remember going to the kids' sports days, and even the one the year before where I wasn't pregnant, like, and they wanted me to do the mammy race. And like, I was there going, no, there's no way that I'm even attempting to do it. Like, all the mams and dads that are doing it, like, they're slim. And I was embarrassed even to go to watch them in their sports days, because you can't wear a big coat, you can't wear a hat, you can't cover yourself up. It could be like 14, 15 degrees, everyone's wearing t-shirts and shorts and you're there trying to cover yourself up, like. So I was embarrassed, but they didn't, the kids didn't care. All they wanted was mam there. They didn't care what size, but my weight stopped me from doing that.
That's so interesting, because that's such an amazing driver, which I think I know the answer to this, but that weight loss journey, you need to have quite a big drive to do what you've done. Was that the inspiration for it?
Yeah, do you know what? I used to be the girl to organize all the nights out and everything like that and send the text messages and stuff like that. And then about a week before, I'd start thinking of excuses not to go out, or the odd occasion where I did go out, like, I could spend 2 hours crying beforehand going out because I felt like I was the fat friend. And I always made jokes and I always like laughed out, or I'd have to have a couple of drinks at home to go out because I felt everyone was watching me. And yeah, it just, it affected everything.
Well, it does, because your mental health, which is something I know you talk a lot about, being a mental health advocate on your pages, but your mental health from being overweight and the way that you see yourself, as you said, your kids don't care, but it makes, you're making decisions based on the way that you look.
Yeah.
Talk us through what the initial weight loss journey looked like. Was it, it was clearly Slimming World, am I right in saying, is that where you gravitated towards?
Slimming World, yeah, that was what, do you know what, I had sisters had taken me there and they had brought me there like and said, "You're coming with us." And one of them wasn't overweight at all, like, and she brought me and I sat inside, and I remember sitting in the new member talk, like, and the consultant was giving me the new member talk, and I was there going, "Is this fucking idiot on about, like, what the fuck?" And I paid I think 28 euros and I never went back. Like, I just was there going, "I haven't a clue what they're on about," throwing the books in the fire and had no interest whatsoever in it. But I remember after I had Jenna, I came out of hospital and I remember looking in the mirror going, "No, I'm a size 22. My knickers were the size of Fawcett's tent. Like, they were just ridiculous. Like, they were like hot air. Like, I couldn't cope with that. Like, do you know, and you can't shop in certain clothes. You can't shop in certain shops. You don't feel comfortable or anything like that. You're wearing like, Jesus, I remember the night I joined on a Tuesday night. And my husband at the time, I sent him down to a shop to buy me a size 22. to go into the shop, and I said they have a separate section for people my size, so go into that section and get a size 22, a double pack of black leggings, because I'll wear the same leggings every Tuesday night to get weighed. I'd not a choice to wear a size 22 maternity top going in, like, because I was like a baby whale, you couldn't miss me, like. And I remember thinking, and then I was getting worried. I had checked up the times, and then I was getting worried about going there, because I was there going, no, what excuse am I going to give them now if they say, like, why are you overweight? Or I didn't know what way it worked, like, because I'd never been to a Slimming World group before, so I didn't know what way it worked. Thought they were going to ask me like 40 questions and why are you overweight, yeah. And why did you, like, I had a whole different image inside in my head. And then I said, do you know what I'll do now? I said, I'll bring 5 kids with me, because I can't manage the other 2. So I said, I'll bring 5 and we'll walk down, and I'll bring the baby, because I was thinking of all the traffic lights I had to stop at, and there was 3 sets of traffic lights you had to stop at to get there. So I said, I'll bring the baby in the buggy, because they'll see that it's lying flat on its back, and they'll see, so the people in the cars watching me will go, oh, that's the reason why she's fat, is because she's a baby. And then the rest of them will be like little ducks behind me, and I'll be calling them then at the traffic lights, and they'll go, ah, shush, good. That's the reason why she's overweight. It's because she's 5 kids. When really I've 7, only they don't know it. I felt like everyone was watching me, yeah. And that I'll go in and I'll say, this is the reason why I'm overweight. I'll blame the kids.
That's so interesting, because it's funny, because when you're, and I've had struggles in life, and fortunately weight hasn't been one of them, but I can connect with anyone that I've ever worked with or speak to who's had issues, because you think the world is watching, and,
oh, yeah.
And that's what's,
yeah,
going on in your head.
Yeah.
When you joined Slimming World, was that the catalyst? It clearly worked for you.
I hadn't a clue what I was doing at the start, actually, to be honest. I went in there, I joined, the kids were sitting down, like, I didn't even want anyone to sit down alongside me, like, because I was coming out over the seat. So I put like a coat on one side, I put a handbag on the other side, so no one would sit next to me in the chairs even, because the kids were gone running in 40 different directions. And I was there going, right, okay, this is how I'm going to do it now. Like I said, I'm just going to do it. It was August when I joined, and the Independence Festival is on in Mitchelstown every August, okay? And like, I was sick of seeing everyone going around in shorts and t-shirts, and me being, for donkey's years, not being able to wear them because I was so overweight. And I was jealous. I wanted to be that girl wearing the strappy tops and the shorts and stuff, like, and I was never really able to do it. So I said, I don't care what the fuck happens now. I said, I'll give myself 12 months. I said, surely I can lose. And I said, even if I could lose 2 to 3 stone, I would have been delighted with that. Even if I could have brought my weight down to a size 16, I would have been happy with that. And my sister actually helped me the first week, because I hadn't a clue what I was doing with Slimming World. I hadn't time to open the book, basically. Okay, just hadn't the time. Hadn't stuff planned properly, because I don't think in my head that I thought I could do it at this stage. So I remember I going back for the first weigh-in. I'm skipping to the first weigh-in now. And like, I joined on a Tuesday night, and the following Tuesday I was like going, I don't know, did I do enough? Like, or like, what the fuck? Like, I don't feel like as if I'm down any weight. But I was down 8.5 pounds in my first week. And I said, fuck this. I haven't stopped eating all week. Like, so yeah. I said, I'm going to keep going and keep going. So the second week I lost 4.5 pounds. And that was on a Tuesday night. Then I said, you know what? I'll start walking now, because I hadn't walked or done any bit of exercise. So I started walking, but I broke my elbow on the night. I got weighed on the Tuesday night. So on the Thursday night when I went out, I fell on the footpath with my sister and I broke my elbow. So I had to get pins put in. So I had a cast on from here to here. And I remember when I went to the hospital the following morning, I couldn't go that night because we'd no one to mind the kids. So I had to wait. I'd sit up on the couch, taking 2 Nurofen, prop a pillow underneath me, and wait till the following morning to go to hospital. And I remember when they told me that you'll need surgery, you'll be in a cast for maybe 8 to 9 weeks. All I was thinking about, I'm going to miss Slimming World. I've lost 8.5 and 4.5. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to put that weight back up now, and there's no hope. So I rang the consultant and I said, here, look, I'm after breaking my elbow. What do I do? I said, the cast, I have a cast on me that's going to weigh that this is what I was thinking, because I was focused at this stage because I'd lost nearly a stone and I was there going, no, I have to keep going. So I couldn't drive the car then. So I had to walk up and down every week to it. But the consultant was there going, oh, no, come on, come down. You'll probably weigh heavier now the next night you come in because of the cast and everything like that. But I was down another 5 pounds that week because I stuck to it completely. And I still went out walking with the cast on me. I just wanted it. I was just sick of being overweight. Like, I joined in the August, and I remember the children's dad had asked me to go to the seaside with them, and I wouldn't go. I said, not a hope in hell. I said, I'll end up on the 6 o'clock news. I said, there'll be a helicopter overhead. They'll think a whale landed on the beach, and net will go over me, and I'll never again be seen. So I said, I'm not going. So it stopped me doing everything.
Yeah.
So I said, if I can commit to something for however long it takes, if it takes 12 months, well and good. But 12 months is a short time to give something if it means you're going to be happy or happier for the rest of your life.
How long did Slimming World work for you?
Slimming World worked for me. The following year, I got to the target that I set, and I had lost, 5 stone with them. And I was even shocked with that. But I kept going. Like, there were 6 weeks in a row where I maintained nothing. No matter what I did, nothing moved on the scales for me. Followed the plan, did exactly what I was told to do, and I did it. I was one to stick to it, like, and it didn't work. And then I found out I was pregnant with baby number 8, and I had started training. At the time, they had asked me, because I had done so well in the plan, I went to an opportunities event. The consultant had asked me to go, so I went, and I did a couple of interviews with them, and I decided, right, I'd love to help people lose weight, because I've done it and I'm doing it, and now I'm pregnant with baby number 8. Like, so I said, if I can manage all the training now and doing this and keep off the weight, I said, it'll be great. I lost 5 stone, say, with Slimming World, and then I got pregnant with baby number 8, put up about 2 stone, which was nothing compared. I normally put up 6 or 7 stone when I was pregnant, like, because I literally ate for 2, ate for 3 probably, you know, at that stage.
Before we get on to what you did after Slimming World, why do you think Slimming World worked? And just to give context, because long-term listeners of this podcast, I don't know where they get this idea that they think I hate Slimming World and hate everything that's not calorie deficit, gym-based plan. But the truth is, I'm fine what works best for you, regardless of what that is. Why do you think Slimming World worked for you?
I think it was a great starting point for me to learn a bit about food, like, basically works on free foods and sins. But I think at the start I was confusing it, like, free foods, that you can eat it unlimited. Like, they say you can eat it unlimited, but like anything, if you keep eating it and if you keep eating apples and bananas, you're going to gain weight.
Build up your calories.
Yeah, it does calories in them. So if there's calories in them, no matter if someone's telling you it's a free food or there's points in it with different plans, you're going to gain weight. That's just it, like. But it helped me just understand it a bit more, the food side of it, and what worked for me, kind of, like.
And it got you from 0 to 1.
Portion control, yeah.
Yeah, it got you off, like, it's actually something I haven't spoken on the podcast, and I'm a fan of Slimming World, Weight Watchers, etc., for that 0 to 1.
Yeah.
That just getting that little bit of momentum and motivation.
It's to get you started, and once you kind of, for me, it got me started, it got me... Like, I did have another 3 stone to lose, and no matter what I did with Slimming World, and I was still a consultant at this stage, and I was running groups in my own town, like, but I struggled. I couldn't lose the last 3 stone with Slimming World. I couldn't bypass it, and I was the consultant, and no matter what I did, it didn't work.
What did you do then that got you to lose that next 3 stone?
It was just before Christmas, and I was there. I was getting frustrated with myself that I was standing up and I was running these groups, and I was giving them the advice and I was telling them what to do, because I do believe in the plan, because I lost 5 stone with them at the time. Like, and then, as I said, I got pregnant with baby number 8, gained a bit of weight where I had 3 stone then to lose. And it just didn't work. So before Christmas then, I was looking around at gyms and stuff. So I went to a personal trainer.
She's pointing right behind her to this lovely man sitting behind us.
So
her other half. Just to give context to that, some random man sitting in the corner.
What kind of podcast is this? So I inquired. I was very self-conscious about going into gyms, even though I still had a lot of weight gone and I wasn't half the size I was. I wouldn't be one to go into a big commercial gym because I felt like everyone would be watching me, and that, again, everyone is watching me, like, because it's all about me. And it's not like...
But that's what we think. Though.
That's what we think. And especially if you're self-conscious, if you're not happy with yourself, of course you're going to think that everyone... And there's mirrors everywhere then in the gym, and like you're there going, yeah, I really don't want to see myself in the mirror today. Like, and then you see like... maybe fitter people inside there, and it's very intimidating. Like, so I was kind of looking for something on my own. I joined Jordan's Five Star Fitness Gym in January 2019. And I'd lost 3 stone, I'd say, in 12 weeks.
What did you change?
Do you know what? I was walking off a lot. Like, I could...
But you weren't doing any resistance training?
Nothing like that. Like, upper body workouts, hadn't a clue. Like, give me... Like, nothing. There was nothing being done. Bar walking. I was doing walking and that was it. And then I joined Jordan's Five Star Fitness. So I was doing 3 training sessions a week. And it was a bit of everything, upper body, lower body, whatever I felt I needed at the time for it. Like, I knew I needed to lose weight because I was unhappy in my shape anyway, like, but it was the food with the training. It was the advice on the personal trainer that I took. Like, I mean, I was following the Slimming World, and it clearly, just for myself.
When you signed up, sorry, just to double back, when you signed up to the gym and started working resistance training, etc., were you still doing Slimming World at this time? And was that when you switched to your nutrition?
I was still doing Slimming World up until I walked into the gym.
Okay, and then you switched?
Yeah. I think even the first week I was in the gym, I was trying to quiz him on food and stuff, because I knew what I was doing wasn't working. It had worked
anymore,
and it had stopped
working.
And I was there going, right, there's something, like, I don't know what it is. Like, so I was asking him about the food and everything like that. And halfway through the first week, actually, I had changed the food up. And from the second week on, I was no longer doing Slimming World, even though the foods I was eating were still known as a free food. But I wasn't counting sins. I wasn't counting anything like that. Like, breakfasts. My breakfast was the only thing really that stayed the same. Everything else just went an awful lot cleaner.
On reflection, looking back now, you know, 12 months looking back, what was the biggest dietary changes? Was it that you started to calculate calories? Was it that you started to focus on different foods? What was the major change? Because obviously, to get the physical response that you got, something clearly drastically changed. Now, I know having good people around, stress, etc., from lifestyle things, adding in HIIT training, etc., but dietary, there was definitely a shift there. What's different between what you did, say, 18 months ago, 24 months ago, to what you do currently?
What I'm currently doing to what I was doing is, I definitely wasn't eating enough before.
To fuel your body.
Yeah. See, the Slimming World plan, like, they work on a SINS thing as well, like, and... like where a member is allowed a minimum of 5 and up to 15 SINs a day. Now my breakfast could have 50, if I was to do it on Slimming World terms, my breakfast could have like 30 SINs inside in it, but it's porridge, it's protein powder, it's milk, it's...
Well, therein lies the problem with Slim. The main issue with Slimming World is the educational issue around food. Like, you know, there's pros and cons to every diet
and every plan,
you know, across the board. And that happens to be the con in Slimming World, is just the educational factor. What would a current day of eating look like for you?
Oh, breakfast never changes. It's the same with yours. It's oats, almond milk, protein powder, fruit, peanut butter inside in it. Lunch then might be rice, green beans, salmon fillet or chicken. Snacks could be almonds or boiled eggs, green beans. Again, dinner would be more or less the same. I might do chicken curry or something like that, or it's just an awful lot cleaner. Like I'm eating an awful lot more than, it's kind of like 4 or 5 meals a day, like, and my snacks. So I was leaving it go too long between foods.
Did you find either physiologically, like digestively or psychologically, shifting from the slimming world mindset on food to the clean eating approach, did you find that difficult, or was it a very straightforward and simple transition?
I wouldn't say it was straightforward, because it took me a long time to come out of the slimming world thought process, because I was a member for so long and then I was trained in it because it was my job. So I was trained and I was given the classes. So it was built in there an awful long time, and I was like, and I suppose I still, being honest, maybe I still would be at times focused on the number on the scales. That takes an awful long time to get
when
it
you're
out
actually
of your,
tracking weight. You're,
yeah,
your
when
your
you're
weight,
tracking, because I had
not the weight of food, you mean your body weight.
Yeah, yeah, body weight, because I had body weight to lose. So like every pound, like I was looking at the scales, and like, and I'm just going to be honest, there was a time where I was weighing myself every single day.
That's a waste.
Stop. Yeah. Yeah, every single it just wrecks your head. Like, it just, every single day I'd weigh myself.
How did you get out of that habit?
When I joined the gym.
And the reason I asked that question is because the gym obviously worked as the catalyst, for the lack of a better term, to not weighing yourself. But was it a case that you realized you were tracking the wrong thing? That it was, you need to look at composition, your, how you look in photos, how your clothes fit versus
See,
the weight.
It took me an awful long time to understand that as well, where I was like, I was still number focused and I was there going, no, but if that tells me I'm 9 stone, I'll feel better in my head, even though I will look too skinny. I will look like someone that maybe is borderline and an eating disorder, like so. And then I was looking at pictures of girls that are, they could be 55 kg in, they could be 1 kg less in between both pictures. And in the heavier one, they look better because they're after being to the gym. They've done 6 months inside in the gym. They're still at it, but maybe they were preparing for a photo shoot or something and they're looking an awful lot way better. Like, they're way leaner and everything, and they weigh heavier in the better looking one. Like, and it took me an awful long time to get that into my head.
Is that, was that, that's a really interesting thing you've just said, that you used other people online, other, say, social media influencers, fitness people who clearly looked better with the heavier weight, and you use that to change your relationship with the scale.
Yeah, but even I have put up, I think I've put up 14 pounds in the last...
But you're, for anyone just listening to this, you'll see the photos on my Instagram, etc. Like, you're in great shape now. Like, it's muscle tissue. Like, you know...
But thanks a million. But but I was like 14 pounds lighter than I am now. And I didn't actually see it at the time. It was a case of, I was looking back at old stories. Well, he had said it to me as well. Like, you know, you're really skinny. Like, you know, we'll change something up and do something up, like in food and everything like that. And I was taking his advice and everything like. And it was only when I looked back, and I'd won the children alongside me, and I was looking back at stories that I had saved. They automatically saved to my phone from Instagram. And I was there, God above, anyway. I thought, looking at the time, I thought I looked okay, as in grand. But like, yeah, there was bones.
How do you track your progress now? Do you still use the scale occasionally? Is it photos?
I still use the scales occasionally as a guideline. I'm not too pushed on it now, actually, to be honest. Like I said, I know I've put up a stone. Like, Certain clothes fit me an awful lot better because I have a bum now, because I didn't before. Like, I could put on a pair of jeans, I was like a washboard. There was nothing there. I was like a bag of bones. And sure, like, only a dog wants a bone, like, you know. So
fair point.
Do you know, like,
no argument.
So I am curvier. I'm way curvier now than what I was. Yeah, so I'm happy with my shape. I'd like to get obviously a little bit more toned, and I'd like to bring up the bum a little bit more and get a bit of shape in my legs. But like, they're only stuff to do with me working out and my training.
And
like
everybody
in my
has goals that they're trying to hit. And
what
does a typical training week look like? How many days a week do you do?
A minimum of 3 and up to 5.
And how long would a session last?
45 minutes.
HIIT, body weight, workouts with weights.
Whatever we think we need at the time. Well, I need, like, and then I go on his advice then, because he's the trainer and he knows best, like, so.
Yeah, so you just, and based on how your body responds.
Yeah,
I love that.
Exactly.
Talk us through how you manage to even get to the, one of the things that I love about you and your message is obviously having 8 kids. You, and we spoke about this briefly before we went on air, you have every excuse under the sun, you know, and as you
I used every excuse. Yeah. I, like, the mornings are too dark. God forbid I can use a flashlight. And then I used to come on and, like, I was one that he said, no, it's fucking raining, can't go out, I'm allergic to it, it's cold, fire's light, and blah, blah, blah. And then I used to come on Instagram and I'd say, you're not a disperin, you won't dissolve, just, like, get out, just go walking, just, and that was, and the more I said it, you know, I went out myself, like, and hail, rain or snow, I'd go out, like, it didn't matter. It was like a job.
Did Instagram and social media keep you accountable to yourself?
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. Because, like, at the start, I was putting up my weighing results every week. And, like, it wasn't a case of that I never gained weight. Like, in one of my posts that are on my grid on Instagram, the night before weighing, I was due to be weighed on Wednesday morning. And the night before, like, I just, whatever it was, I ate whatever was in the cupboard. It was like the cupboard was calling me. And I just went out to the cupboard and I ate whatever was in the cupboard that night. But I still went to weighing the following morning, knowing that I had had a brilliant week. I sabotaged myself in the space of 1.5 hours inside home, eating food because I was up late. Kids were fucking crying, wouldn't go to sleep. Their father was snoring, didn't even know he had kids, I say, at this stage, because he was like in La La Land. And I was downstairs. The child had colic. It's illegal to throw him out the window. So I was trying to settle dim. And like, I just ate. I ate because I was up. So there was no period. Like, when I was really heavy, there was no period of time where I wasn't eating.
Yeah.
I was eating my breakfast, dinner and supper. And I was like a cow grazing in a field.
Yeah.
I was like constantly eating and that was it, like. But that's, and even when you should be asleep, I was still eating.
Yeah. It was just, and that's what happened.
I used to be going up the stairs at 4 o'clock at night with a child in my arms trying to put back into cot and popping Jaffa cakes into my mouth, like.
And it's that's why, to think and hear that that's where you came from to where you are now, I think that's why.
Sure, I would have ate Willy Wonka and his chocolate factory. I just it was just desperate, like.
What do you do now when you fall off track? Because nobody, myself included, and anybody, we all do.
Do you know what? Life is hard enough. If you fall off track, just get back on it straight away. I mean, if you go out to your car, like you say it in groups, like if you go out to your car and one of your wheels are flat, you're not going to slash the other three.
Yeah.
You're going to fix the one that's there and you're going to get into it and get on your way. Like, the thing is don't feel guilty if you've had, like, there's 21 main meals in the week, okay? And then you have your snacks in between that, okay? One bad meal isn't going to upset the rest of your week. It's known, it's, just say it's your breakfast and you decided, fuck it, kids are in school, going to the garage there, got a coffee, things are going well. Then you smell the hot counter and you go and get a breakfast roll. Okay, it's not the end of the world. Eat the breakfast roll, get over it. Just make sure your snack is on point and your lunch is on point and you're like, have it. We all do it. Like, we go out the weekend, you'll be a long time dead. Like, you have to be able to enjoy stuff guilt free and then get on with things again.
That reset is very helpful for everybody. Was that something that you
were able to adopt relatively easy when you got in shape, or was that a process that took time?
No, I found it easier to lose weight than it was to maintain. I found the maintain, like, I was so used to losing weight, like going in, it was a weight loss group I was in. So like the goal is to see a lesser number every week, even though it mightn't happen. Like I said, there were 6 weeks I maintained. There was weeks there that night that I, that the night before weighing, like I went in the following morning, paid my €9 for her to tell me I was up weight. I was up 2.5 pounds that week. Like, but I was there going, yeah, at least I'm accountable now.
Yeah.
Clean slate from this morning, and the following week, I think I lost 5.5 pounds. Like, so if I didn't go, I would, in my head, I would have continued eating badly. So therefore I knew my weigh-in was the following morning. So that was it. But it was harder for me to switch over from losing weight to maintaining. I found the maintaining hard.
That's interesting. That's a very, because there's a lot of people listening and...
But it's a whole different ball game.
Expand on that. Explain on why was it difficult to maintain versus lose? Or why do you think it was difficult to maintain versus lose?
Well, for me, I was focused so long on losing weight. I wasn't happy with my body for years. And then they're telling you you're at your goal, or you're telling yourself you're at your goal. So what do you do now?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, for me, it was, okay, shit, I'm here now. This is meant to be my size. I'm a size 8 to a size 10. I was a size 22 to a size 24. So what's the plan now? Stay like this forever? And how do I do that?
What do you do now?
I train.
And do you reset and come back to new goals? Or do you just focus on enjoying the process of enjoying what you're doing day to day?
I think I'm enjoying it a bit more now. At the start, I kind of wasn't when I got to where I wanted to be, because I didn't know. Not that I didn't know. What happened was, really, I suppose, with me is I had got where I wanted to be, and then I fell ill and had to go into hospital. So I had a hysterectomy last March, and then I was out of training. They told me, I remember asking the surgeon when I came out and I was in the recovery room, and I'd say they thought I was demented. They wouldn't have been far wrong. And he said to me, I said to him, he was explaining the recovery and the seriousness of the operation and the checkups afterwards. And I was there going, when can I go back training? And he was there going, I like, what's wrong with you? Like, you can't even lift weights.
Talk me through. You said something really interesting there, because that you joined the gym in January, and by March you were wondering when you could get back to the gym.
Yeah.
And you mentioned,
no, March I went in for, I was fell ill in March. Okay, so it was, like I had my surgery on the 19th of March, and it was like the day after I was asking him, when can I go back training? Like,
and the reason I'm very interested in that is you had that gym anxiety when you were joining first. Yeah. And now
I didn't turn up for my first session. I had to go. I remember booking an appointment and a consultation with Cullum to see was the gym the right place for me, and was I, just to see would it be the right thing for me, like. And I remember going in and having the chat about the gym and what my goals were and everything like that, and moving forward about training and everything like. And I came out and I'm there thinking, yeah, I'll think about it now for a while. And I messaged on the Sunday night then, and I said, yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll come into training tomorrow night. These are the times, like he said, these are the times and whatever, like. And I was there thinking, yeah, this is great. I was sick in my stomach all day Monday, trying to think of an excuse how to get out of it. I was like, oh no, can't do it. I'm just going to vomit if I go in there even, like. And never showed up for the first session. I don't even think I messaged. I think I messaged after the time I was meant to be there. And what I said was that I couldn't get a babysitter because the kid's dad didn't have them, because we were separated, like. So I was there going, the kid's dad wouldn't have him. That was a lie, like. And because like I have a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old that would happily babysit for me while I go for training. And so then he said, no problem, book you in for the Tuesday night, like, you know, the next night. And I was there thinking, and there was something said as in, I don't do a Tuesday night, like, but I know you'll show up like this time, you know? And I was like, going, I'll fucking show him. I'll show up and I'll do my training.
That's, is that the thing that got you in the door? The nearly somebody calling you out?
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
And how long before that gym anxiety went?
I think it was there for a while. I'd say it was there for maybe 2 weeks, as in... I always was a little bit nervous going in that I wouldn't get to do, like, that I wouldn't do stuff the correct way and that I'd embarrass myself and that, do you know, you'd make a fool out of yourself and you'd fall over. And
you think all the worst case, you catastrophize everything.
And I'm the worst, I'm probably one of the worst overthinkers in the world. Like, if I'm driving late at night, okay, I'm literally thinking the worst things in the world. The car's going to break down. It's going to be like the Hills of Eyes. Monsters are going to come over. I'm going to be kidnapped. Never again. They're going to use me for breeding. They'll realize I've had a hysterectomy. They'll kill me, throw me away. And this is it. This is what's going through my head.
Worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario, okay? So, like, I was thinking, okay, they'll think I'm a feckin' idiot inside there, that he'll tell me to do something and I won't know how to do it. But it wasn't like a bigger gym. It was a case of, like, it was one-to-one training. Like, everything was explained really, really well. I could take my time doing it. Like, in God help us, I did take my time doing it.
Do you think one-to-one training is I won't say the secret, but when somebody is out of shape, or not even out of shape, because you had lost a lot of weight by the time you went to one-to-one trainer, do you think that is a very helpful way for people to get over their initial gym anxiety?
Definitely. But I think they have to find the right gym. They have to find the right trainer. They have to see, do they cater for people that are nervous, for maybe older members, members that have never been to a gym or a trainer before. Like, I've done training where it's meant to be personal training and you pay for personal training, but there's actually 10 in a group. So it's like group training. It's not personal training, because the minute they turn their back, you've stopped what you're doing, because, like, you're out of breath and you're taking a break, because that's what we do. Like, at the start, like, I was one of those, even though I was motivated to lose weight and stuff, where I needed to be pushed and I needed the encouragement and I needed the attention and I needed to be told that I could do it. I still need it.
Yeah, I think we all do to a degree. Yeah. You know,
not as much, but I still need to be told, you know, you're doing a good job, like, you can do it.
And the reason I wanted to bring that up as well is because there's a lot of people who suffer with that gym anxiety. That's something that I've talked with people in the past. And you mentioned a very interesting point there that I just want to extract about finding the right gym and finding the right trainer. Because there's lots of gyms that aren't the right fit for people. There's lots of trainers who aren't the right fit for specific people. And it's about not giving up just because you didn't find the right gym or the right trainer. It's like, just keep searching until you find the right fit.
And find someone that really has a passion for it, like, and they're not money motivated and it is entirely, this was their dream maybe, and this is what they want to do and that they want to help people, like.
Is there anything that you wish you knew, that you know now, that you wish you knew when you started your journey first? So after child seven, was it Jenna? It was Jenna 7?
Yeah, she was seven.
After Jenna, is there anything that you wish you knew then that you know now?
I wished I didn't wait so long to be happy. I always thought that, like, I delayed going out. I delayed doing an awful lot of things. I wished I enjoyed myself a bit more. Thinking that losing the weight will make you happy. Don't be too hard on yourself. I was very hard on myself at the start.
Did losing the weight make you happier? Or was it a...
No, it definitely did make me happier. It definitely gave me more confidence.
Yeah.
Definitely gave me more confidence. It did make me more happier to an extent.
Did that stall when that weight stopped dropping then? Because the reason I asked that is because... everyone's case is so different, but when you wrap, say, happiness into a metric like a number, so bank account, weight on a scale, etc., the problem with numbers is that sometimes they won't reduce or they're unlimited and they can just, there is no baseline, you know, I tell people bank account, like if your number is, I'll be happy when I have this amount of number. I'm like,
or when you've that amount, you've that amount saved.
The bar shifts, the bar moves. And it's always kind of a dangerous thing putting your happiness into that all the time.
But that's not going to make you happy if you don't change what's in your head, because I would still see myself as the bigger girl at times when I look in the mirror. I would still see myself
now.
I would still see myself as the bigger girl.
So you don't, that's so interesting, the psychology behind it, because for anyone that's not familiar with how you look, like you look like someone that's been a fitness person all your life. You would just assume you would think it. You know, that's why, as I said, I think your story's so amazing because of where you came from.
Yeah.
Do you think that will ever go? Will that ever shift? Will you always see that? Has that, when you look in the mirror and you picture the bigger girl, has that bigger girl, for the lack of a better term, shrank or become smaller as the years have gone on and as you consistently?
Definitely gone smaller, but I think it's got to do with the whole mental health thing as well. I mean, do you know those days where you might feel a little bit fluffy yourself? Do you know?
We all have those days.
Yeah. You just might feel whatever's going on. And like I even had a conversation with Cullum. I said when I was doing the before and after pictures, and I was even shocked myself when I slid over and I was there going, holy shit. Yeah.
Looks like two different people. Yeah, completely.
And yeah. I was there going, if I went into a coma and someone, and I woke up and they said, okay, so before you look in the mirror, we're going to show you a picture of yourself. And if they showed me a picture of the heavier girl and said, that's you. And I had just woke up and I was still the after picture, the slim girl in that picture, I'd believe that I was the heavier girl.
That's really interesting.
I wouldn't believe that I was the slim girl. Even like when you see the pictures alongside one another, it's like going, holy fuck, I actually,
your internal state hasn't reflected your external state yet.
Yeah. But even training wise, like I wouldn't see my shape or the definition in my back or whatever, like if I ask him to take a picture so I can see, like, it's only then going, Jesus Christ, do you know, that you notice it and you're going, yeah, I think I've no shape. Like, do you know, there's days and weeks where you feel better about yourself and then other times you look and go, no, I don't feel like that person. I feel like I'm still the heavier person because you've been that way for such a long time.
For a longer time than the slim person.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you stay on top of your mental health? Do you have any strategies or tools or techniques that are set things that you use or go to when needed to stay on top? Because you do a lot of talking on mental health. You know, it's on your Instagram handle, Mental Health Advocate, because of someone because of you struggled.
No, a lot of it I would handle now through exercise. The gym is my time, even though I missed the first session because anxiety took over. But it's what helps me now. Walking. I also go to counseling as well, like, so I still do my counseling. I'm on medication. I have no problem saying it that I'm on medication, like, and one of the side effects are on it, like, on the medication I'd be on is may cause weight gain. And like, I'm always asked that in DMs going, but how do you manage to keep your weight down when it says that you'll cause medication that you're on will cause weight gain? And I said, no, if you look at all the side effects could be
death,
blindness, death, but it could be
alive.
Anorexia. It could be anything like that. But we focus on the one that says may cause weight gain. And that gives us a go ahead without us thinking in our head, because it used to give me a go ahead at the start. Because it was 2015. I was actually, it was Christmas Day. It was Christmas Day 2015. I was admitted into a psychiatric unit and I spent 3 months then inside there. And I did put up an awful lot of weight. I put up 3 stone inside there because there was no exercise. It wasn't because of the medication I was on.
Yeah.
You were getting your meals served to you. There was no exercise. The meals that were served came in from a hotel. So they were like top of the range food.
Yeah.
The tea trolley was out every hour. at 12 o'clock at night, they were making sandwiches and everything like that. So it was never the medication. It was, I had no exercise. I was in a bed. I was on a couch for 3 months, for 12 weeks of my life, doing nothing, just eating.
I've had that conversation with a lot of my girls that I work with in programs when they go on, say, birth control.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I'm going to gain weight. I'm like, not necessarily. I'm like, there's a lot of factors that are coming on there. But you also don't want to tell yourself, oh,
yeah,
I have an excuse.
But like, even the weight gain that, like, from birth control as well, like, it's only up to 7 pounds.
Yeah.
With any birth control, the implants, anything, it's only up to 7 pounds.
We won't get into your birth control with 8 kids. I'm like, I'll ask you about lots of other things. I'm like, probably not the route to go down.
Birth control.
Joking.
Ask about that.
That went off track very quickly. Your mental health, and you talked about the medication you're on now. Training is a huge part. Is diet, do you find that your mental health is affected by your diet?
Yeah, definitely. Like, my diet was really, really bad before I joined Slimming World. I mean, I thought nothing of standing in front of a cupboard and eating 12 queen cakes out of a pack, you know, the different coloured ones. Mm-hmm. And I'd have the white one first, and then I'd say, okay, I had the white one, so I'm going to have the brown one, and then I have to have the pink one, then I have to have the yellow one. Before I know it, the 12 of them were gone. I'd feel sick. I'd give myself 20 minutes, and then I'd go back and I'd eat something else. Mm-hmm. Like, and by the time nighttime came, when the kids were in bed, it was like, yay, they're bed, it's like a holiday. Yeah. So I'll just bring in whatever food I want. Like, they could have been 5 bars of chocolate. There could have been, like, I was addicted to fizzy drinks as well. Like, as in, I never
empty calories. They're probably the worst thing for weight.
Sure, I never drank water. Like, I never drank water in my life. Ever drank water? Like, I mean, I could have had half a slice pen. I could have ate half a slice pan in one sitting at my heaviest. Do you know what? There was just nothing worse than being overweight. I even did a thing on Snapchat where I put up, I kept an Icarus and it was like massive. Like, I'm not joking. It was, the size of it was just unreal and I couldn't get over it. And that was tight on me. So I remember doing Snapchat videos, like, and putting it up and putting the size Icarus that I was wearing now on top of it. And it was like,
yeah,
like, it was
such an obvious, such a visual difference.
And even the size of jeans that I was in and putting the skinny jeans on top of it, like, you know. And even like belts, I never wore a belt because I could never get one unless I went into a men's shop and got the extra large ones. Yeah. Like, you know, going into the likes of River Island, Pennies or anything like that, they just don't cater for. They do cater for the bigger size, but not really.
Not to the
River Island doesn't like renting like that, but like, yeah. Primark do now, Pennies, to be fair. But like, you see a girl and you see her dressed well and you're thinking, yeah, she could be a size 14, she could be a 12, she could be a 10, and you want to wear her clothes. And say you've seen her on Instagram, she's a blogger, say, and you go in to buy her clothes, her exact outfit, and you go into the fitting room to try it on, and like, you nearly need the fucking fire brigade to come in and take you out because you've got stuck in the clothes, you've got the biggest size because you think you're going to look like that person.
Yeah.
If you just wear the clothes, because you want to look pretty, you want to be slim, you want to be happier. And yeah,
last question that I'm curious, as someone that's been through the ringer with everything on a weight loss journey, for anybody that's listening that is at a similar position to where you were when you started, what would you say to them? Would you, and I'm curious, because someone that's gone the Slimming World route to a certain point and then switched into training, calorie tracking, eating clean, etc., what advice would you give to somebody at that situation? If they're listening to this podcast right now, they're several stone overweight and they don't know where to begin. What would you, having lived what you've lived and the knowledge that you have, and you can go in any direction you want, feel free to say you should do Slimming World 100%, this is the best thing ever, or you should find a trainer, a gym, whatever direction you want to go with it. What would you advise them now to do so that they can get the ball rolling and kind of get from that 0 to 1?
First of all, I'm just going to say Slimming World is a great starting point, but I believe any plan works if you stick to it. Weight Watchers, anything like that, any plan works if you're committed and you follow the steps that are in a plan, any plan works. I wish at the time that I had brought in maybe my training at the start, because I was walking, didn't know anything about muscle, didn't know about anything like that. How I just had didn't know about the personal training side and anything like that. It was only when I got into it through the training that I learned an awful lot more by listening to the trainer. Take a deep breath. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't give up no matter what happens. Don't give up. Everyone struggles. Life is hard enough. Commit to it. Stick to it as much as you can. Try and stay focused. It's whatever fits for someone. Like someone might want to, do you know the way we say, oh, I'll join a gym, but I need to lose a stone to join a gym. Yeah. Like I need to wear certain gym clothes going to a gym because I have to have the right training gear. I rocked up in a pair of black leggings and an oversized white t-shirt, and that's what I wore kind of until I had lost my weight and I felt a bit more confident in myself. And then I started buying the nicer stuff. And do you know the way you get, then that's what motivated me. And when I got to my goal, then I bought a load of stuff because like I was at my goal. But like, find something that suits you. Try to commit to it. Everyone has struggles. Like everything affects your weight loss, lack of sleep, stress. Like lots of people have new babies and everything like that. Just do what you can.
I love that. I think you're so right. I think stick with it, commit to a plan and just keep going. Like you will find what works for you. And one of the things I want to add there, because I said something very similar when Tricia Lewis was on the podcast. If you're overweight and struggling, you think you need to lose a stone to go into the gym because everyone will be looking at you. If you're not,
they won't. It's all in our heads.
It's all in your head. Like, and
yeah.
And coming from you.
It is. It's all in your head. I mean, I thought at every traffic light pressing the button that everyone in the cars were looking at me. I mean, I was once that person. Now I'm at the other side of it where I'm the person, say, in the car at the traffic lights, and maybe they might be someone overweight. I'm not looking at them.
No.
I don't care.
Yeah, and that's how it is.
Actually, I'm focused on getting, what do I need in the shop? Did I forget a child? Where are the children? What time am I picking them up? Does our dad have them tonight?
Like, God, you got the 10 fingers. I'm like, you're safe enough
have,
for...
do they have soccer? Where am I going? What happened in my life? I'm 40 this year. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking of someone that might be overweight at a traffic lights or that's going on a walk. Do you know, does no one judging?
Love it. Tess, tell everybody listening, where is the best place for them to connect with you, to follow your journey, and just whatever social media platforms you spend the most time on?
Yeah, Instagram would be where I spend most of my time. I can't even remember my username now.
Tess McGrath underscore.
Yeah. Tess McGrath underscore would be that. So that's where I'm at if you want to come follow.
And everybody listening, I will link that on the show notes on briankeefitness.com. Go give Tess a follow. Amazing story, amazing journey. And next time you think that you have an excuse, just think of Tess getting to the gym with 8 kids and trying to organize that. That just makes me get my shit together. I'm like, Brian, you have no excuse. Tess, thank you so much again.
No problem. Thanks, Brian.
There we go. That's everything from today's episode. As always, if you liked what you heard, be sure to hit me up on Instagram, Brian_Keen_fitness. And you can tag Tess as well. She is TessMcGrath_ on Instagram. Let us know what you thought. And if you're not subscribed to the podcast and you're listening to this and you're like, I think I'm going to subscribe to the podcast, click that button. You won't regret it. You totally won't regret it. Well, you might regret it. You might be like, Brian's a dick. But hopefully you won't regret it. So hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button for a podcast coming every single Monday. And sometimes podcasts coming bonus episodes on Fridays. So stay tuned for those as well. They come kind of sporadically. But every Monday you are guaranteed to get a podcast into your inbox wherever you are subscribed. So please do that. I'll catch you all next week.